Good morning, everyone. I hope you guys are ready for snow. We're going to have snow starting from today and until Tuesday morning. And if you heard my story last night, you probably know how I'm frustrating now. So anyhow, so we continue our sermon series of God, His land, and His people. Today we are going to read the story of manna, which is kind of a very well-known story. But before we dive into the story, I just want to tell you and remind you what happened to the Israelites before manna. All right. So God delivered the Israelites from the land of Egypt, where they suffered as slaves 430 years. And in Exodus chapter 14 and 15, they crossed the Red Sea. In other words, this is the first story of the Israelites completely outside of Egypt. If I put this story positively, this is the story of Israel freedom, but not wholly free of the ideology and habits of Egypt, but free from their slavery. But in negatively, they had a serious problem, which was that they had nothing to eat and drink. So they complained about food because they were starving. And God heard their complaint about food. And today we are at Exodus chapter 16. If we have time, I'd like to read whole chapter, like about like 36 verses. But I'm not going to do that. So today we're going to read verse 4 to 10 only. So God heard their complaining about food. And this is what the Lord says. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron say to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat and in the morning bread to full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him. What are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, "Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of people of Israel, they looked towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray you will guide our minds and hearts for even the next few minutes. Draw us close to you as we open your word, and let the Holy Spirit guide us to the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor Norman and I, we are using a book called Scripture, Culture, and Agriculture by Ellen Davis for our new sermon series. And every time I read her book, Ellen Davis' book, and I remember a conversation that I had with a rabbi a long time ago. His name was Rabbi Krishev. but I do not remember every single thing from the conversation that I had with him, because probably I didn't pay my full attention to it. But I remember a couple sentences that he says something about the story of manna and the other Old Testament story. So this is what I remember from that conversation. He said, God provides enough to satisfy every human's need, but we as his people keep wanting to have more and more and are becoming greedy. And the most common characteristic of people who are greedy is that they do not care or think of the people around them and even the lens that God has created for us. And Wendelberg said a similar thing. The industrial era at climax has imposed on us all its ideal of ceaseless pandemonium. The industrial economy, by definition, must never rest. There is no such thing as enough. Our bellies, our wallet must become oceanic, and still they will not be full. 6 workday in a week are not enough. We need 7th, we need 8th, and everybody is weary, and there is no rest, or there is none unless we adopt the paradoxical and radical expedient of just stopping. No matter how many resources we have, no matter how many things we have, we as human beings have a serious disease that do not know how to be satisfied and live. So people work nonstop to get the resource for their own wealth, regardless of God's creation order, which includes our community and neighbors. By using the first 5 books of the Old Testament, particularly the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy, Alan Davis explains about the industrial economic system of Egypt. And our society too. And show us that there is nothing different between these two economic systems, Egypt and our economy, the empire of Egypt and our empire. Our current industrial economy system is very similar, if not same, to the one in Egypt. In order to explain the Egyptian economy system, the Egypt empire economy system, she used the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 20. It says, "But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace," the iron furnace, "out of Egypt, the hands of Pharaoh." So she picks the word iron furnace to explain Egyptian economic system. The iron furnace itself is an ancient industrial machine. But the impression that it gives is that it does not know how or when to stop and does not know how to do a certain limit. The iron furnaces represent the Pharaoh and his empire that did not know the word enough, that did not know the definition of the word enough, and wished his belly and wallet to be full to more than the full capacity. Therefore, the Pharaoh, he kept oppressing his slave with hard labor. To be more specific, the Pharaoh kept oppressing the Israelites to build his food storage so that he can use it to rebuild his power and wealth. This is what empire does to us. Because the Pharaoh was not able to be satisfied with what he had. Even if he had more than enough, Pharaoh and his empire perspective of resource was wealth and power. It was focused on the Pharaoh and his empire only. And Ellen Davis say that like the iron furnace of Egypt, we have our empire. We have an economic system that does not know when to stop. And does not know its limit. Industrialism, including industrial food production, burn it until destroy the workforce, land, soil, water, air, all those components of land, and consumed until it pollutes and destroy that in one place, then it moves on to destroy another. And the question is, why is this happening around us, like around our world? Could it be conclude that it is simply because of our sinfulness and greed? Maybe. Because of our sin? Very simple answer. But this is right answer. Maybe. But I don't think that is all. The most important point that I think is our wrong perspective of resource. Today we read the story of manna. Traditional evangelical sermon about manna is don't be greedy. Yes, it is, but there's something more. This is a story about God giving us his gift. Because it focused on God giving away for his people. Therefore, what the manna story wants to tell us is that the manna is a gift. Is a gift that comes from God. Even though the Israelites should go out and collect their own food, but that doesn't mean that they provide their own food. Likewise, sometimes we tend to think that we are the one who provide our food, but remember this, God is the one who is really providing as a gift. So remember what we have just read today. God say, verse 4, behold, I am about to, I, the Lord, God, your God, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you. I'm giving you this manna as a gift. And there were two rules, instructions, that the Israelites must follow before they go out to collect the manna. First one is this. Each person should have just enough for one day. Each person should have just enough for one day. No one can take more than a day's portion or should try to save it for the next day. But just collect a day's portion. And second is this. Collect double on the sixth day. And get it all prepared because nobody is supposed to go out on the seventh day, which is the day of rest, the Sabbath. And the question is then, why are those two rules or instructions are there? Because it is a gift. It's a gift. But just want to let you know, the story of manna happened before the Israelites received the commandments from Mount Sinai. In other words, They never knew and practiced the Sabbath before. They never knew about the Sabbath. They had no idea about Sabbath. So I think they probably asked this question: why should we go out? Why should we not go out on the seventh day? And why are we not allowed to go out on the seventh day? The answer to that question can be found in God's promise to the Israelites. So after God gave those two rules and instruction, and God made a promise to the Israelites that if they kept these two rules, and they will not only be physically satisfied, but also if they eat in this way, it will be for them revelatory experience, which they will know who God is and what he has done for them, and see the glory of God. Verse 6, at evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord. Our definition of Sabbath is probably simply a day off. Like for example, my mom, when I was young, my mom told me that you can go out to play at the playground on Sunday. You can go supermarket to buy candy or snack, cookie, whatever you want. You can't go anywhere except the church. Or when you come back from the church, do your homework or schoolwork. That's kind of my definition of Sabbath, day off. But Sabbath in God's definition is not a day off. You know, when I was in seminary, I got together a few of my friends from my vocational group. It's kind of like, it calls vocational group, but I call it as like a spiritual study group. And we decided a Sabbath day and to practice it. But there was a huge problem, which was we did not know what to do on the Sabbath. So this is kind of like a man's life. We decided not to practice the Sabbath. No, forget it. Likewise, the Israelites did not know what to do during the Sabbath day. So here's what happened. They went outside to collect the manna on the seventh day. And God was furious. He was furious. Some people might say, oh, come on, God, just go easy, right? They just came out of Egypt. So it's totally understandable. They are free now. Yes, they are free now, but not wholly free of ideology and habit of Egypt. But however, the reason why God told them to keep Sabbath is to know who God is and remember what God has done for them. And trust the Lord that he will provide what they need. That's God's definition of Sabbath. You will know who I am. You will know what I have done for you. And you can, and then you can trust me that I will provide everything you need. Verse 6 again, it says, at evening they will know that it was the Lord. It was the Lord who brought them out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, they will see the glory of God. As Wendell Berry said, 6 works day are not enough to us. We need a 7th. We need an 8th. There is no rest in our lives. Human beings with our godless nature do not have limiter on ourselves. We treat ourselves and think ourselves as king rather than God. We have to change this attitude and reverse the structure of our thinking and put God first rather than ourselves and see our resource as the gift of God. We have to remember that everything is God's creation and is a gift. Then we have to trust God that He will provide what we need in our daily life. And that will lead us to a true rest. Knowing and accepting the things of the Word as a gift from our one and only God, true God, and our Creator. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, Jesus teach us to pray that God will give us daily bread. It is the way how the kingdom of God prays. We recognize God as our provider and rely on Him to meet our daily needs. But this does not mean that we expect God to literally rain down manna on us, but that we understand and trust that God is the one who provides our needs and give it as a gift. My final word is this, and this is kind of question. Are you living in such a way that you are conscious that everything you have is a gift from God? You will know when you're living this way and when you can take a rest without any worries. You will know it. Amen.